coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who has been text messaging with one Dina Lohan for going on 5 years. I am Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here on a Thursday night, 6 days away from the finale of Celebrity Big Brother 2. It was a big night for Tom Green and a breakout night for Candy, and we'll talk about it all as we set you up for tomorrow night's double eviction here with the panel. Let's go ahead and welcome in a man who is looking forward to potentially having some free time in but 6 days, Mr. Taron Armstrong. Taron, how are you?
I'm great. I've been working on my casual viewer impression. So this is a wow. I'm really happy they had that twist where they brought in a strategist to compete with these house guests. That Candy woman, she's amazing. I'm so glad they brought her in this last.
Yes. Who is she? Where did she come from?
Yeah. I'm so glad we finally have a strategist in the house. I wonder why they didn't just have her there from the start.
Was it a twist that they brought somebody new in, or did Candy have a twin and then the other twin is now knows how to play?
Yeah, she was watching. Twin.
She was watching the feeds from somewhere else, like La Vida.
There was a fake double eviction somewhere along the line. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, and here with us back once again, it's Melissa. Melissa, how are you?
I was not prepared for that Dina Lohan catfish joke, so you need to warn me about these types.
Yes, okay. You weren't prepared for me to be unmasked as the masked catfisher.
Wow, I can't believe you revealed it so early. I feel like you should have held that was you all along the whole time.
No, too much suspense. Got to get it out there. All right, we got a lot to talk about here tonight as we are going along on a Thursday night on a Big Brother recap. Hashtag RHAP. Get your questions in for everything we're going to talk about here tonight as we have almost like a traditional Big Brother episode. We had an HOH competition, and then we had nominations at the end of the episode, and this was like a normal Sunday night episode of Big Brother that we might see during any summer, and we are ready. So a little bit of a slower pace than we've been used to with these crazy episodes, which sort of start with an HOH competition. We got a live veto in the middle and an eviction at the end, but tomorrow night anything goes, double eviction, and a lot to do here tonight to get you set up here with everything going on Celebrity Big Brother 2. All right, so I guess the top story at this hour, Taron, and you guys have been covering it on the feeds, but yeah, the emergence of Candy is a thing.
Yeah, Candy, she has risen.
Candy crush.
She's crushing it.
Stay crushing it.
Yeah. She's come out of her shell. She really wasn't doing much in the first three quarters of the game, maybe making some big mistakes. We learned that the reason she went on the block during Ryan's HOH is because she just flat out told Jonathan she was going to vote to evict him. But she's learned. She's been quiet. She's been thinking, and she's finally ready to come out and play. And boy, is she playing! And I'm very happy to see it, because we really needed at least one player in there who had their head on straight.
Yeah, I don't know if we deserved her, Melissa, but here she is.
This was Candy's episode, and I don't think it's any coincidence that this is also probably the best episode of the season so far.
Best episode of the season!
I think it is. I think it is. I really enjoyed it. I feel like I enjoyed the episode on Tuesday because it was exciting, and it was like, or was it Monday?
Monday night.
I enjoyed Monday's episode because it was exciting. It was like similar to a double eviction because you didn't know what was going to happen. But in terms of general Big Brother type episode with normal gameplay, normal strategy, you know, and also like the fun segments thrown in there that are actually fun and not about like hurdy colons.
Kato is on the outside now. You're going to hurt his feelings.
Okay. It's not Kato's fault. I'm sure they goaded that out of him. I'm sure they were like, now what little funny rhyme do you want to say about your colon?
He wasn't even in the diary room.
that was pure Kato. Let's be real.
He didn't get coached for that.
No, but in the diary room when he's like talking about it and he goes, does that whole like, one second, and he like runs to the bathroom.
What's this? Such a, it was a Kato hater from the start, from the draft. Play the clip.
I was not a huge fan of Kato going in, and then I did enjoy Kato in the game. I liked his friendship with Tom, but I'm sorry, I don't find poop jokes funny.
All right, well, we don't need to relitigate this. Nobody is asking about that.
Melissa, you're the only one I see talking about colons here.
Yeah. You brought that up.
Caught.
Yeah. All right. So good. I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed the episode. I know you guys talked about this on the LFC roundtable in terms of how good have the episodes been. I just feel like that my metric is the show boring? That's really what it comes down to. Good gameplay, bad gameplay. Can you figure out what's going on? Just the only bad thing we can be on Big Brother is boring. And I feel like that we've been able to avoid that here in Celebrity Big Brother 2. It's coming to an end. So I think we've been able to avoid the dreaded boredom, Taryn.
Hopefully, I think some of these episodes have been borderline, but I think that this season, you know, up until this point, the episodes for me have been like average at best. Like it's approaching, it's like just enough Big Brother that it's holding its own. Big Brother's great by itself, so even if it's bad Big Brother, it's still fun. It's still a base level of okay, this is still fine. This episode, though, I think this is good Big Brother. This is what we want. It's strange to me that we're so desperate for something that's a little bit slower paced, but we are. We're looking for like actual character moments and to understand what's actually happening and who's doing what and why things are happening. And we have great characters in that house. These episodes should be fantastic. And I think that this is an example of why they should be fantastic. Not that this one is necessarily fantastic. This one is not like a 10 out of 10 episode, but in terms of how this season has been going, I'm very pleased with it. And I did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. You know, the summer, Big Brother, it's too long. This is too short. We're in a real like Goldilocks scenario. Is Big Brother Canada the baby bear just right?
You know, it would be if not for those twists.
too twisty. Okay. Let's talk about the reemergence of Tom Green rising like an osprey from the ashes. Melissa, he was left for dead. He thought he was going home. I think that a lot of us thought he was going home in the eviction once that him or Kato didn't win the veto. He stays. He goes on to win. He gets like the perfect HOH competition for him where he's able to win and return to power, Melissa.
Yeah, honestly, this was probably, I mean, best case scenario for Tom Green, I think, because, you know, at the time, now we know, I mean, after seeing these diary room sessions and everything, that it seems like Dina and Candy weren't going to put him up. But at the time, we weren't sure. It's hard to tell, especially when people like Candy and Tamar and Dina even are talking to Natalie and Lolo and Ricky and possibly saying things that they want to hear. Like, yeah, I'm going after Tom. Of course, we all are. And then, you know, what are they actually thinking? It's hard to tell. And so it's really nice to get these diary room sessions. And I do feel like this episode, we got some good diary room sessions that let us in on what these players were thinking. I mean, sometimes, especially with Tamar, I wasn't sure if she was going to be loyal or if she ultimately had loyalty to Candy. Mm-hmm. And we got some really good DRs from her tonight.
Yeah. She basically had said it later on in the episode when Natalie, Eva Marie and Lolo were sort of grilling her about Candy's out. Your girl, she screwed us. And Tamar was like, no. Because we saw from Saturday that, you know, Candy and Tamar are talking about, hey, look, we got to promise me you're not with you. You got to promise me you're with us. You're not with Tom. She said she promised. But even Tamar knows that she's not to that. Candy is not with Natalie Eve Marie, is not with No Licky.
Yeah, she's selfishly working with Tom. How dare she? We did get confirmation, though, that Tamar wants to be in the final two with Candy. This is something that we've been talking about, that I've been assuming. I'm assuming she wants to go to the end with Candy, but she hasn't actually said it to us in the diary room. We got confirmation. Tamar wants to go to the end with Candy. She keeps getting told that Candy is going to win. when she gets there. And Tamar's like, no, no, she won't. What are you talking about? That's nonsense. She might want to listen to that a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Candy Tamar thing, do we have any sense of like how much of a squiggly line has this been along the way, Taryn, where they was any of this staged where they seem they're tight now? Did they get tighter did they drift further apart and then get tighter in the game, or were they always tight?
Basically, Tamar and Candy, they tried to work together in the beginning, and then they had the big fight about relevance, and then they hated each other. And then they slowly came back together. They had a unifying moment. Since they came back together, Tamar in particular has really wanted to make this work. I think that she sees that she's working with Lolo, Natalie, and Ricky, and that they are all looking out for each other. And so she wanted her own person, and her person was Candy. And she wanted to make sure that she didn't ruin her relationship with Candy outside of the house. So from that point on, she always wanted to get to the end with Candy. However, from that point on, Candy has also been doing things that Tamar hates, like talking to Tom Green. And so Tamar gets mad at Candy and she yells at Candy. And then Candy's like, hey, what do you expect me to do? Your people aren't looking out for my interests. And Tamar's like, oh, you're right. I guess I can't blame you. But there's tension there, but there's an underlying sense of we're still together. She still wants to go to the end with Candy. So it's complicated, Rob.
Okay. It's complicated, but it's a work in progress. So we got to see Melissa also a lot of what Candy thinks about Tom Green, and good to see that Candy is very interested in working with Tom. She knows that they are aligned.
Yes, I loved her little celebration after Tom won. And I also loved that, when she got back inside, she purposely didn't celebrate, didn't do a big scene, just trying to keep it on the down low, and even told, Natalie that she thought, there's no way she could beat Tom. So she had to pick Natalie and is trying to cover for it. Obviously, they kind of saw through that. But I like Candy's thinking, and I feel like I'm very excited about what Candy's doing, because I thought that she really wasn't playing at all. I thought she was just sitting there eating food, sleeping, playing cards, and that was about it. Like, I honestly thought that's all we were going to see the entire game. And imagine if she went out the week that her and Joey were on the block. That's all we would have seen from her all game, and we would have been so disappointed in her, and we would have had known nothing about the strategy that was going on in her mind the whole game. So I honestly am very impressed with her right now. So,
Rob, there was a point in time where I said, well, I kind of hope Joey stays over Candy, because at least Joey's fun to make fun of.
which was not untrue.
I regret those words, though. The things we would have missed. I mean, Joey, the bath man, he was amazing. And I miss him. I do. I miss him. I wish he was still in the house, but he was definitely not worth the trade for Candy. I'm so glad we had Candy in the house.
Yeah. So with Candy, so I know it's probably difficult to nail this down, but did she evolve, Melissa? Was she slow playing the beginning of the game? What was your take on Candy? How did we get here?
I think it's a situation where a player doesn't know the game very well, but is smart going in and is able to pick up on it. Like, I know Taryn, I think it was Taryn, said the other day that this is very reminiscent of Paul in Big Brother 18, when he came in the house not knowing anything, and then he learned along the way and ended up becoming a really good player. So I think that this is a similar situation, obviously not the same, but I think it's similar, where she's just an intelligent person, and she was able to pick up on cues as to how to play.
Okay. All right. So we have our HOH competition. Tara, we had the return of Omarosa to host the competition that we haven't really had any Big Brother Celebrity 1 cameos back here, unless I'm missing somebody here in Celebrity Big Brother 2 to host a competition. Omarosa is here, but we can't really do anything with Omarosa.
Yeah, just hosting a competition, making an appearance, teasing us with, oh, I wish I were playing in this house. God,
yeah, that was such a tease. I was like, I wish so too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we got to see her in the diary room. I love her diary rooms. You know, you just got to see her posing and everything. Oh,
yeah, like, could you imagine a season where Omarosa comes in instead of the Mooch?
That would be a good twist. That would be a good twist.
I was a fake player all along. I've been Omarosa.
Oh.
It's the mascot.
That would be great if we could see that. But Omarosa, I don't think we needed to see like the perfect, the quick way to get back to one. We don't need that. Yeah. We don't need that here.
It was so bad because you couldn't follow it.
They cut between.
Yeah. Yeah. They showed the line, but it didn't, like, the arrows didn't match up with where the box would actually go. So you couldn't even go, okay, I'm going to memorize this and then watch them, because it didn't work at all. They should have either kept the arrows there the whole time to show you where they were, but that wouldn't work either because they didn't always follow the most optimal route. So it didn't work out exactly how they wanted it to.
Yeah.
Especially because those things don't stay on the track, too. So, like, Ricky's was, like, off on the side of it, and it's like, they're just like foam blocks or whatever. So you end up pushing it around in weird angles and it doesn't quite stay where it's supposed to.
Yeah. Now, Taryn, the thing about this knockout competition is that this is an interesting one where the more times you get called in, where it's like everybody's against Tom, which is normally a disadvantage, but here it happened to be something that he was good at, but it was also something where the more times you play it, I think you sort of like figure out what to do. So where it's like, if it's sort of like a question thing, it's not necessarily that you get better at answering the questions, but here, like by the time like he's getting called in a second and third time, he's really got it figured out.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite on the level of like the Frank HOH where it's like a skill based thing where the more you do it, the more you can do better at it. But it's more of a like Tom seemed to be the only one who decided to actually think it through. It's honestly for me, it's less doing it and more just taking the time to go, okay, so if I want to get a two, this is what I need to do. If I want to get a three, this is what I need to do. And that's what Tom did. And apparently none of the other people thought of that. And yeah, they had plenty of time sitting on the sidelines to calculate all out how to do those things. It's all about just figuring it out beforehand.
They start with the cube in the same location each time, right? Or like same number on top each time.
We have to go back and check the tape on that.
But even if they don't, you can figure out the way to get to a certain side depending on where it is on the. You don't have to go by number. You can go by side. Yeah. And then you can look at the side that has the number you need and then do the calculation for that particular side.
Yeah. And it was such a funny moment where the editors started to put like the beautiful mind math calculations, like the Zach Galifianakis hangover gif on Tom Green as he was figuring it out. That's great. I hope that will continue to be a Big Brother meme like Rachel Math. Let's keep that going, everybody. It's a good one. Yeah.
Tom Green has already given us a lot of great GIFs to use on Twitter, and I'm very thankful for that. This one is probably one of the better ones. Yeah. I'm excited.
All right. So Tom Green ends up that he is advancing, and then we get to a very tricky part here where Candy has a decision of, is she going to call in either Tom Green or Natalie Eva Marie, and she decides, I'm going to challenge Natalie Eva Marie, and Taryn, all hell breaks loose.
How dare she? How dare she help the villain of the movie? It's like there's the villain of the movie and he's winning, and then all of a sudden the other people start helping the villain and people are cheering the villain and we're giving each other looks like, oh no, and we're yelling at the villain and everyone is just cheering. What is happening? Why is all this good stuff happening to the villain?
Yeah.
I don't get it, Rob.
Yeah.
Is something off here? Am I wrong?
Yeah, the hero is Lolo.
I'm out. It just feels like the bad guy in the movie is winning.
Yeah. Feels like the bad guy in the movie is winning. Melissa.
Devastating.
Very sad. Very sad for Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie, the heroes of this story.
Gosh, it's just so sad. No, but honestly, like if you're noticing that that everybody is like helping the villain and all this stuff, it's like you have to question, are they really the villain? Like, what's going on here? Something might not be the way you think it is.
Yeah.
I feel like you shouldn't. I feel like for future house guests, it's Big Brother. Do not put into the universe, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Because if you do that, it will just, because of Big Brother, it'll automatically flip it and you will be the bad guy. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. I think you could usually just do the math of like, who's on the bottom right now? Okay, those are the good guys.
Yeah. That's usually the underdog.
Yeah.
Advice for future players, always assume you're the villain. Just assume it. Just assume that you're not liked. And
then people will like you.
You're a lot more likely to have people like you.
Yeah. Because either you are liked and people are like, why do they think they're so disliked? Or you're not liked and people will be like, well, at least they're embracing it. And that I can get behind.
At least they're self-aware. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So tonight, Taryn, I know a lot has been reported this season about Lolo, especially being, aggressive with people in the house. I felt like tonight the show went all in on Natalie Eva Marie more so than Lolo being sort of the face of the negativity in the house.
I will say that Natalie has been kicking it up a gear, for sure. And so that's probably part of it here. And really, I think a lot of this too is that Lolo's negativity, I think, is a lot of what they're trying to avoid showing on the show. So like Lolo, when she's getting in people's faces, she's calling them things that they don't want to air. They're cutting the feeds from this kind of stuff. Whereas Natalie's negativity is a little more easy to show on the show because it's a little more game related. It's a little more, obviously hypocritical in a game sense, but it's not the kind of thing that they're like, oh, we can't even show this on the show. So in that way, I think Lolo's getting a bit of a pass just because her stuff is too bad for the show.
Well, I also wonder if maybe the show is a little hesitant about, Olympic hero, somebody who has like a maybe better reputation in Lolo Jones in the eyes of the viewers for being associated with the Olympics, as opposed to Natalie Eva Marie, who may be more of an unknown to the viewers. I feel like that they are not putting, the kid gloves on for her edit.
It's possible.
I think they're putting the kid gloves on for all of their edits.
Yeah. I mean,
they're celebrities. They want to entice celebrities to come on the show and not be scared away. I feel like these are people that could really do some harm if they end up getting a bad edit and disliking the show afterwards. So I just feel like CBS is just trying to be safe here, which is understandable in order to, make sure that they can renew for next season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw Natalie Eva Marie. She referred to Candy as the B word at one point tonight, Melissa.
Yeah, well, they've done a lot worse than that.
Yeah. So she's not happy. She wasn't happy. But let's just talk through Tom's nominations, because he has a plan. He goes out, he acts on it, Taryn, but then has to double back after Candy gives him some advice. He tells us Ricky is his target from the jump.
Yes, and they aired one of my favorite moments from feeds thus far, which is his conversation with Ricky, where he says, yes. Ricky, I've got a proposal. I put you on the block. You try to win the veto, then votes. And then Ricky's like, good proposal. I have a counter proposal. You don't put me on the block. We work together.
Yeah, and Tom's like, well, both proposals are, are viable.
Yeah. good. I like that proposal too. Let's think on it. Let's confer together again in the future on these proposals, and we'll work to see which one is the better one moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom tells Lolo that he is Natalie Eva Marie, he's not going to put her on the block. Tells Lolo she's going on the block, but she's also not the target, Melissa.
Yeah, I feel like he did not do a great job in terms of telling everyone things that maybe didn't end up happening, or things that I just feel like he even said, he's like, yeah, I'm going to tell everyone that they're not my target, even if they are. And I just feel like he's kind of putting himself in a corner there by telling people things that promises that he can't necessarily keep. And he probably should have just been like, look, I'm thinking it over. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. And just left it at that.
Yeah. Taryn, it seems like in this situation, you're almost better off. And Candy kind of says that to you, like, Tom, they're coming for you anyway. There's no deal you can make. They're coming. No matter what you do, they're coming for you. So you might as well just say, like, hey, screw you guys. One of you is going home this week. No matter what you do, somebody's going home from your side.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems here is that Tom thinks that Ricky is manipulating Lolo and Natalie into hating him. And so he feels like he has a good relationship with Lolo in particular. He had a conversation with her prior to him winning HOH where he explained everything that happened and she seemed to accept it before she went back. And Natalie was like, he's lying to you. And so he felt like he had a good connection with her. Then when he had his conversation with her in the HOH room, they cut kind of around this, but when she's seemingly getting emotional there, it's because Tom is explaining to her why he wants her to win the game and that he, you know, he knows that she needs the money and he wants to support her dreams. And she's like, are you serious about this, Tom? Like, are you being real with me right now? And he's like, yes, of course. Like, I want to support you. And she dissolves into tears. And then after that, he thinks that he's flipped her. He thinks that she's on his mm-hmm. side. Of course, meanwhile, she's like, Tom made fun of me because I don't have health insurance and he's been trying to manipulate me using my Olympic dreams. He's just got this all wrong. And so that's when Candy is like, dude, no, she's not going to work with you. She's very right about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when somebody gets a good hate into you, very hard to, win them back onto your side. You have to sort of cut your losses.
It's so disheartening to see their reaction to Tom, because I do feel like Tom was being really genuine with Lolo there. And then to have her turn that conversation around into some like cruel, manipulative thing that's just ugly. It's like, it made me so upset, because it was like, you see that scene and she's like crying and he's like being super supportive and you're like, wow, this is so moving. It goes to show that, you know, people have their differences, but then they can come together if they just communicate. And then she like immediately turns around and is like, Tom's garbage. And it's just like, okay, well, never mind. Everyone hates everyone and everyone's the worst. And that's just the way things are. And like, it's just so sucky, you know?
I like Melissa's Lolo impression.
It's not my best, but I'm workshopping.
Okay.
I like it.
Let's bring Dina Lohan into this, because she has two big conversations in this episode. One where she's talking to Tom, Taryn, and she is basically ratting out the no-licky side of things about how they were saying, okay, get Tom out. And she is telling Tom how her and Candy were going to put the girls up on the block, the mean girls.
Yes, the mean girls. Dina is basically Candy Light.
Yes, really campaigning for the Jonathan Bennett jury vote.
Yes, where Dina understands socially what's happening in the house. She's just a bit more passive than Candy is, a bit more deceptive in terms of the how she... I mean, you saw her during the HOH competition when Natalie and Lolo were saying, choose Tom, he can't win. She was like, yeah, you're right, he's always winning things, like saying things that make it seem like she's on their side when she's not. And so she definitely is working here, and I think that I'm glad that we saw it on the show and Tom was like, whoa, look at that, Dina's playing the game here. It's very true, you know, not to the extent that Candy is, but she's definitely doing something in that house.
She's hanging
that's
in there
better than nothing.
She's doing something.
Yeah. Melissa, was Dina Lohan more confused during the play of the HOH game or for the last 5 years after being catfished?
Oh, poor Dina. That scene was really funny, but also like, oh, poor girl. I mean, there's no way that's not a catfish situation. There's just no way.
Yeah, that's a sad story. It's a sad story.
She's like, well, he lives in San Francisco. It's like, yeah, that's not super far away. Like, just go there.
Some people don't have FaceTime. Some people don't have a camera, Melissa.
Yeah, some people don't have iPhones and you just can't do it. And it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people just like to get money via Western Union. That's what they want all the time.
Yeah, people just love getting gift cards in the mail. And,
he's a prince. He's old fashioned. He only uses email.
Yeah. He has an inheritance coming. He just gotta keep Western Union all Lindsay Lohan's money.
Dina had been talking about her like special someone and how she's like seeing someone, she's in a relationship or whatever. And it's like, I never expected it to be this.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where I was like, I mean, I get it. It's a good segment, but I was also a little conflicted. I was just like, oh, this, I just feel so bad for Dina that this is happening on the show.
Yeah.
It was bad enough that it happened on the feeds instead of like, I mean, I've been like, Lindsay, what are you doing here? Who in Dina's life has allowed this to happen for 5 years?
Who's not putting a stop to this or at least investigating?
What do you
Google image search? Yeah, someone needs to see.
It's a good start. It's a good start. Leave it to these Big Brother fans, because they do some top-notch investigative journalism, from what I understand. Okay,
I do not want to be this catfish.
They can get to the bottom of anything. So, but it was so great, though.
Imagine being that person.
You are pooping bricks right now.
Yeah, like you're just, oh my god, they're discovering me. I mean, you know, the cat, like in real life, catfishes don't get to see the moment where their friends are like, this person's catfishing you, and now this guy gets to see it on TV, on national television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh boy.
And how great was Tamar during all of this? Here's Tamar reacting to the catfish story.
Man, I want to go because I want to sing. If it's a catfish situation, the address and number and voice to the phone better all add up. Catfish! Real.
I thought she was saying she wanted to beat the dude up or something, but she was saying she wanted to sing. Like, I think she was just really happy about this whole thing.
She liked the drama. That was good.
She was so excited. No, Dana.
Yeah.
So, oh god.
Tamar makes the craziest noises. This was Tamar another point during this episode tonight.
Who got the queso out?
Yeah, I don't know if she's doing does like a dog barking or like
that
a seal
like
noise.
A
yeah.
That's not a human.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
I didn't even catch that.
She's amazing, Tamar. She really is so talented. Get her on World's Greatest, Taryn.
I guess so. Hold on. Is that what a catfish sounds like? Is Tamar the catfish?
Oh, maybe.
Wow. Mystery solved.
So, yeah, now we know.
Oh, boy.
Now we know. All right. I know we have a lot to get to with the live feed update. Melissa, anything else from this episode that we want to touch on? We saw Tom Green playing with cereal.
Yeah, we finally got the cereal box Osprey segment, which people were requesting. And they were like, if Tom goes this past episode, we're never going to get it. Mm-hmm. So now they finally got it.
We finally got it. Taryn, did it live up to the hype?
I'm so glad. I'm also really glad that they didn't air the explanation for it.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just a full like 20 seconds at least. Oh, that was a good one. Was a good one.
We saw him. It was like the time when he was in the room where he was like, oh, what's this? A UFO hat? And then he's just like it's like we have a minute to fill. Let's just show some of Tom being cuckoo crazy.
I loved in the end when they do the slow motion, you know, the classic like Big Brother slow motion thing, and then Tom's just like dancing in there. It was really great. I was like, all right, I see it. I like it.
And here's the thing, too, when they do that sort of thing, they're usually actually pretty accurate to like usually when they do the cutaways, it usually is what the person is doing during that conversation, oddly. And it usually works out just like that. And this was what Tom was doing after the nominations. He was dancing like that in his room while Natalie, Lolo and Tamar were downstairs complaining about what just happened. And it was fantastic.
All right. We want to get to questions if Scott's ready for us. And then we want to get into the live feeds and then we'll talk through what we think is going to be going on in 24 hours time. We have a huge double eviction coming up this week. So a lot to get through. Let's bring some questions in. This is from basically Brandon. Do you think that Lolo's huge black sunglasses in the diary room were a fashion choice or was she crying? Melissa, we've seen a lot of people with the sunglasses here during Celebrity Big Brother. Was that a fashion choice or was Lolo crying?
I don't know for sure, but I thought it was probably because she was crying or emotional. and mm-hmm. didn't want to show anyone.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I noticed them at the start of the episode and I was kind of confused. And then by the end of the episode, she was still wearing the sunglasses when she was talking about being put on, or how her allies were put on the block. And it, I was like, oh, okay. I think this was a post nomination ceremony diary room. And then that's why she's got, I think it was an emotional sunglass wearing.
Okay. Thing. All right. Olivia wants to know, who would you say is the favorite for America's Favorite Player? I would probably think Tamar or Tom. Now, Taryn, did they do America's Favorite Player for Celebrity Big Brother 1?
Yes, I believe
and
so.
And who was it? Ross?
Ross won, yeah.
Ross won America's Favorite Player. So who do we think? We know Tamar won the Power of the Publicist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a tricky one. I think that Tamar has a shot for sure. However, I think the voting mechanism for that favored Tamar. And she was also in a position where she was an underdog and might have needed it. And so mm-hmm. that, I think, was a boost as well. I know Tom was one of the top vote getters for that, or at least we assume so based on the analysis that people were able to do. So I think that Tom would also be up there. And I think that based on what we've seen on the show, I think the casual audience, Tom is the underdog. He's funny on the show. I think that that's going to be big for him. Ultimately, it probably comes down to Tamar or Tom. I would love to see Candy in there with a shot too. And maybe that will be the case, but I think she'll need a couple more episodes at least of this kind of content before she can get there. Whereas Tom has had a lot of a head start on that one. So my guess is my ultimate guess would be Tom, but I think Tamar could also take it.
Melissa, do you have a pick?
I don't want to jinx anyone. I feel like every time I pick something, it ends up being wrong.
Okay.
It has me.
Yes, probably.
And also, I think part of it too is that with Natalie, Lolo, and Ricky like being so hated, I think there's this idea of give Tom America's Favorite Player and show them that they were villain.
The fans do love that. It's like stick it to the people that thought they were liked. Like when mm-hmm. people circulate that Frankie Grande not winning America's Favorite Player video on Reddit.
Yes, it's a fan favorite, that video.
Fan favorite, like the Battle of the Block. Golden says, assuming he makes the final two, does Tom have enough votes on the jury to win the game? It seems unlikely that he'll receive any votes from Nolicky if he does make it to the end. And Kato seems to be his only lock at this point. Listen, so Kato has been out of the house. He's really pumping up Tom Green on Twitter. Do you think, is it possible Tom Green, there's a scenario where he can win in the final two? Does he have enough votes?
I think there's a possibility.
What if he's up against somebody from Nolicky? So Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie?
Hands down.
I think he beats him. Yeah.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah. I think that he has a lot of people. I mean, especially the people who got out early who are watching. I think Jonathan will have a lot of sway. So I think if Jonathan wanted to vote for Tom, and he probably wouldn't want to vote for Lolo or Natalie or even probably Ricky. So I think Tom would have a chance because I think Kato and Jonathan would have some sort of sway over the other voters.
Yeah.
Convince them.
We've seen Jonathan tweets being anti Natalie and Lolo and pro Tom. So mm-hmm. that's, I think, a huge indicator of where his whole contingent of the jury is going to be looking. And so I do think Tom can beat the Nolicky people easily. The question is he likely to even be there with them? Probably not. He'd probably be there with somebody like Candy or Dina. And I think he'd have a much more difficult time beating them. I think Dina probably beats anybody at this point. So Tom versus Candy, I actually was doing the math earlier today. I think it could be pretty close, like a 5-4 vote potentially. But I do think Candy probably beats Tom. So I do think Tom has a tough time winning ultimately. And he'll have to think real hard about who he takes to the end.
Okay, let's do one or two more questions and we'll get to the live feeds. James says, do you guys see a winner's edit in Candy since she's been silent the whole game as the show's depicted? And now they're finally showing us that she's a strategic player on the show and on the feeds. Taryn, do they really get into that with Big Brother where it's like, oh, this person is coming on strong now, so let's really up their edit?
A lot less so on Big Brother US. In Big Brother Canada, they really tend to pick one person and they really try to ride that person to the end. And we saw that fail terribly in Big Brother Canada 6. But Big Brother US tries to, like, they definitely play favorites, but they don't usually, you know, go like, oh, we're going to like pick one person and shove them in your face and, you know, just because of a thing. I think that basically Candy is the only person who's giving them strategic Magic Diary rooms, and they're like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
We got candy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that Big Brother really cares about who wins and what edit they get. Yeah. You know, they sort of have like their, you know, fan favorites, but like at the end of the day, I don't really think that they care too much about who the winner is and how much screen time they got.
No, I don't think they care about the winner at all. Because, yeah. I mean, you can see how they treat them like so much garbage after they win because they just throw confetti in their face and they end the show. That's literally all that happens. It's literally boom. And then the show's end.
Let's go.
Julie's like, okay, goodbye, everyone. Thanks. It's like we don't even get 5 seconds with the winner. So I really don't think they care.
They don't care. Okay. All right. It's about the journey, not the destination. Okay. Anthony says, are we going to get an all-female Final Five like Big Brother One World? I guess so.
It's very possible. Tom is gunning for Ricky hard. And if Ricky leaves this week, then Tom is still a big target in the house. He could very easily go in the double eviction. And then, boom, all of a sudden, you got only women left.
I think that would be really cool.
All right. Last question for the live feeds from Soy Gonzalo. What's more likely, Dina's boyfriend being real or her winning the season? I think it's Dina winning the season and it's not close.
Yeah. She's got a pretty good chance.
Yeah. I mean, if she wins the season, she could probably get a real boyfriend. Yeah. I mean, you get to be Lindsay Lohan's stepdad.
I mean, really, what's going to happen is she wins. Dad. If she wins the season, her boyfriend is going to be like, hey, I love that you won. I just need some of that money.
Can you Western Union me $250,000? Yeah,
if you send me like $100,000 or so, then I'll finally be able to make it from San Francisco to LA and we'll finally be able to meet. Our dreams will come true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, poor Dina.
Poor Dina Lohan. Okay. All right.
She's so sweet.
We're going to get to talking about what's going on in the live feeds. Double eviction episode coming up tomorrow night. 2-hour episode, 8 to 10 on CBS. We'll be live 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. But with that, let's go ahead and talk about our spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. Busy day on the spoilers. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, we had our veto competition.
Yes. And Tom won the power of veto.
Okay. What was the competition?
Oh crap. I'm forgetting now.
Don't worry about it. Not important. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we saw Taryn, we saw Tom talk through a lot of scenarios tonight. So what does he ultimately do with the veto?
Well, he wants to ensure that Ricky leaves, right? So he knows that Candy has been pitching for Natalie to leave. And so he's concerned about that. And so he's starting to think, what if I took Natalie down and I replaced her with Lola? That's what he tells the cameras. He's thinking about doing that to ensure that Ricky leaves because he's worried that Candy and Dina and Tamar might vote Natalie out instead of Ricky. So he proposes that to Candy and Candy's like, don't do that. That's stupid. It's dumb. Don't do it. And then she tells Tamar. Tamar gets mad at Tom. She yells at him. Feeds cut. Tom later that night says, you know what? I'm just going to do something crazy. I'm just going to do something that nobody expects. And so this morning we were wondering what's Tom going to do? Is he going to take Natalie down and replace her with Lola? Like you said, is he going to put Tamar on the block now that Tamar blew up on him? Who knows? For all I know, he could put up Ricky. Nah, that's extremely unlikely, right? Or sorry, take down Ricky.
Yeah.
That's extremely unlikely, right? That would never happen. Feeds go down for the veto ceremony. And Rob, out of nowhere, Tom uses the power of veto on Ricky and puts Lolo on the block. Lolo and Natalie are the final two nominees.
Okay. All right. Melissa, do we know at this hour how this came to be?
Candy and Dina, I guess. I mean, we heard that spoke to him and that they were basically saying he listened to us, but we don't know what was said. So we didn't see the conversation.
I think they were referring to the conversations we saw. I don't think Tom talked to anyone after the blow up. I think that he was in his room and he was thinking to himself about what to do. And he just decided, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take Ricky down. I think that they've had this kind of like macho, I don't want to be taken out by this guy, kind of like you know, Penner and Jeff Kent, like mm-hmm. they don't want to be got by the other dude, and so that's why Ricky has been kind of like, oh, you know what, I'm just gonna bow out, I'm gonna go out on my own terms, I'm gonna write my own story, and
because he's a storyteller.
Yeah, he doesn't want to feel like Tom got him. He wants to feel like, hey, I did this for my women. And so I think that Tom has kind of reversed that whole thing where his biggest fear was that if he kept Ricky in the game, then Ricky would win the HOH. He would take Tom out and then Tom would be beat by Ricky. But this way, Ricky's only in the game because Tom was the bigger man and he saved Ricky. And so if Ricky takes him out, whatever. It's only because he was the good enough guy to save Ricky in the first place. And I think that really opened up some possibilities, as well as the fact that he didn't want to continue to piss off Candy. He wanted more house yeah. unity. I think that a lot of things kind of came together in Tom's head that that made this work. I think also he just wants to be Tom Green, the wild card. He wants to shock everyone and he wants to make a move that's going to shake things up. And that's what we got.
We respect that and we appreciate it because yeah. just yeah. to go back, you know, we keep it fun, keep it exciting. We like that. We like to be on our toes. Melissa, so now the vote is going to be Natalie Eva Marie versus is Lolo, and yeah. we have seven people in the house. That means there'll be four votes to evict. Stop me if my math is wrong. So what will happen tomorrow night in our first vote?
It appears to me that Natalie Eva Marie will likely be the one to leave.
Okay.
I believe she will, but I think it could change. It could completely change. It's kind of a close one. I feel like if Ricky was still on the block, it'd be a little different. But now that it's Natalie, Eva Marie, and Lolo, I think people see Natalie, Eva Marie as a much bigger threat. Especially, I mean, Candy does, Tom does. I think that they all recognize that Lolo is likely not going to win because she's likely not going to get the votes. Whereas Natalie, Eva Marie has the chance to get those votes. And I really do think that this, it was a shocking move for sure, but I do think that this is a good move for Tom because it solidifies Candy and Dina with him because they both were saying he listened to us. He did what we asked for. We wanted Natalie Eva Marie gone. And now look, he's put them both on the block, which is what we had initially said. And it shows that he's willing to work with us and he's willing to take our input into account. And I just feel like, this move, I mean, Tom could have played out the week without changing it and it would have been fine. But I do think that this was a fun, exciting move that actually I think could help him.
Okay. Taryn, with the no licky trio, that every group of three friends, that there's one of the friends is closer to the other two. Who is tighter with Ricky? Is it Natalie or is it Lolo?
It is Natalie, in my opinion. And Lolo has had her issues with Ricky here and there. Natalie has always kind of been the glue that kept them, not kept them together. I think they would have been together anyway, but Natalie has been sort of the problem resolver. So it is Natalie and Ricky as far as I'm concerned. So that's something.
Okay. And then maybe Lolo and Ricky are not as much on the same page moving forward. And so that's just the opening act, though, for tomorrow night. We are going to then have the double eviction. We'll be down to six people. Tom can't play the HOH. Taryn, is there any talk in terms of what the house is looking to do next?
Well, it's a little complicated because there was the initial plan. Then there was the plan that happened after Tom was being so crazy and Candy actually went to Natalie and Lolo and made a deal with them to work with them against Tom because Tom was seemingly not doing what she wanted him to do. Then he made this crazy move and now all of a sudden he did do what she wanted to do. So that deal is probably off the table, but we're still not entirely sure where everyone is going to lie. My guess would be Ricky is still going to go after Tom. It's going to be Tom and probably Candy. Lola would do Tom and probably Candy. There's a chance that it's Tom and Dina after Candy's conversation with them, but who knows? I still think probably more likely it's Candy. With Tom as the target, if Tom wins the veto, Candy is evicted. If Candy or Dina win, I think that they will probably both put up Ricky and Lola with probably Ricky as the target. Probably. And then if Ricky wins, then they'll probably evict Lolo. But Candy and Dina have talked about, like, this Tom guy, he's a little threatening. Like, I mean, he's a little, like, he's winning a little too much. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's going to win this game. Maybe we need to start looking at him a little harder. So there's definitely a possibility that people start to turn on Tom even as early as next week. But as of right now, it seems to me like it's going to be I forgot to mention Tamar with Lolo and Ricky nominating Tom and trying to get Tom out. Dina and Candy trying to win to get Ricky out, probably.
Yeah. And Melissa, it looks like that just from looking at this field, unless it's like a total crapshoot HOH for that that HOH competition that we're going to see on the live show, where if you had to pick which side is going to win, you got to feel like that the Tamar Ricky Lolo side of things, or Tamar Ricky Natalie side of things, has a better chance to win this HOH than Dina and Candy.
Yeah, I would think so. But aren't double eviction HOHs usually like true false mental stuff?
Yeah, so usually.
Even still,
yes, they have a better chance. But I do think that we can't count Candy and Dina out, because I thought that they did pretty well at the last true false whatever competition. So, I mean, I think there's a shot. If it was a purely physical, I'd be a little worried. But I am still a little worried, yeah. But I'd be more worried. So, yeah, I think there's a chance.
Tara, I think this is coming down to, it's 9:30 tomorrow night. We're watching Tom Green in a veto competition live to save his Big Brother game.
Yeah, and the worst part is, if he does succeed in saving his Big Brother game, then we lose Candy. So I think we're in for some pain tomorrow night, probably. Yeah.
These double eviction shows, it's usually a sad podcast after.
We always lose good people in double eviction.
That's the history of the double eviction on Robin's podcast, that we're usually in mourning at the double eviction.
It's too bad.
We never come on like, yeah, double eviction.
We did it, everyone.
We did it. Best double eviction ever.
Yeah. Has there ever been a double eviction where it's been like, thank God we got that person out. Everything happened exactly the way we want.
Big Brother 15, Andy.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was exciting. That was, it was like, whoa, what happened? But really, since then, it's a lot. Double eviction is paved with a lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
Okay. Taryn, how have Lolo and Natalie, Eva Marie, reacted today to now both being on the block?
Poorly.
Poorly.
As you might expect.
You don't say.
They're not happy.
Not good.
Yeah. Everything that we've been talking about, it's still there. They're still mad. They still think Tom is a terrible person. There was a little bit of like, oh, did he just do something nice? No, he could never. We're never going to talk to him after the season ends. We hate him. We're definitely not going to vote for him. A lot of talk about who they're willing to vote for in the end.
Who are they willing to vote for?
They're willing to vote for Dina.
Okay.
Dina is their top choice outside of themselves. Definitely never, ever voting for Tom. And then apart from that, I don't think they really had too much of a preference. Definitely Dina, definitely not Tom. And definitely don't talk about your jury voting preferences in the house when people can see you on the live feeds, because it gives them even more of an excuse to vote with the same logic that you're using.
Okay. All right. So just to talk this through, tomorrow night, double eviction. We will be down to 5 people by the end of the night, tomorrow night. We will have an eviction on Monday. Taryn, is that canon?
We got the double eviction on Friday, and then Yeah, I'm not sure if there's an eviction.
We have an episode on Monday. I don't know if it's been announced yet if we are going to evict somebody on that Monday. And then 2-hour finale coming up on Wednesday the 13th. So after tonight, there's just 3 nights of Celebrity Big Brother left. That double eviction on Friday, that Monday night episode, and then Wednesday night.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think it might be we go into the finale with 5.
That's what it was, I think, last season. Right, but, right. You know, we do have the opportunity to potentially evict somebody on Monday night also.
We have the opportunity, but my guess is we go in with 5, we lose 1, and then Final Four HOH takes 2 people out and goes to the final 2.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah, we got to fill 2 hours on that finale night. So we'll see how it goes. Okay. Let's get back to some questions. Kieran says, should Candy get all the credit for Tom's nominations? Was this Candy's HOH, Melissa?
I think people are saying that. I think probably she gets some credit for the final nominations, but I think that the initial nominations were all Tom, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I think that I think he possibly could have come to this conclusion on his own.
Yeah.
But I do think that him taking Ricky off had something to do with Candy being kind of insistent that Natalie Eva Marie was the biggest threat. And I think that got in his head and he started thinking about that. And I think that certainly helped. But I don't know if this was Candy's HOH, like everyone said.
Okay.
It's funny, actually, I have the exact opposite answer.
Okay, you think it is?
I think that she is entirely responsible for his initial nominations because he had an entirely different plan initially, and she talked him into Natalie and Ricky. And then I think what he ended up doing, I do think that she had some part of it in terms of like how she reacted to his plan to take Natalie down. But ultimately, I think it was Tom's sort of like crazy world of wildcardness that ended up taking Ricky down. Like, she never even suggested taking Ricky down. That was never even in the cards. So that would be my perspective, at least, is that she was in charge of the initial nominations and then had some influence, but mostly it was Tom that did the crazy move at the end.
Okay. Don't you think it's also possible, though, that, I mean, at least I was taking some sort of interpretation that Todd's my boss, Green. so that Tom took Ricky down possibly to show like good faith to Dina and Candy, because they both really wanted Natalie Eva Marie to go. And so he was showing like, okay, we'll get your target out by doing that. Or at least that's kind of like partially what I was thinking.
I think that if that were his motivation, in my opinion, I feel like he would have talked to them about it afterward. Like, hey, I did this for you. He hasn't done that. He's kind of just been like, yeah, I came up with this idea. What do you think? Was it great? So I hear you. I do think that Candy's reaction had something to do with it. But also, Tom was feeling pretty betrayed by Candy because, like we said, when Candy had her reaction to Tom's plan, she went immediately down to talk to Tamar, and then Tamar blew up on him. And so he knew immediately that Candy had run to Tamar with all of the information that he had told her. So that night when he was telling us that he was going to do something crazy, he was like, man, I'm really disappointed in Candy that I can't really trust her with information. Dina's really my only real ally. And Dina's the one that was actually on board with taking Ricky out. So I think it's less about Candy's influence in that regard and more about just Tom being Tom. But like I said, this is Tom Green. So
yeah, like, we honestly don't know. Sure.
Okay. We'll find out tomorrow night, because I'm sure we'll get to see this segment as we open the show, and we'll see everything leading up to the veto meeting. And then ultimately we'll have eviction number 1, 2 hours of tomorrow night. I think we'll get all of our answers. All right. Last couple of questions. Melissa Bott wants to know, is It's Melissa's mom enjoying the season? All right, Melissa, give us the report.
I unfortunately don't have much to report. My mom's been traveling for business, and so she's like, I'm so behind. I need to catch up tonight. I'm going to watch all the episodes, and I'm going to listen to all your podcasts tonight. And I was like, okay. But so I don't have – she's still back on the episode where Kato's still in the house and Tom wins HOH. So she is long behind.
Okay.
But, you know, she's really liking Kato, I think.
Oh, could be a problem at the next family reunion.
Yes, could be. I don't want her talking about his colon. No. I do like Kato too, so I'm fine with that. I'm fine with her siding with Tom.
What do you like about Kato?
His colon. No. I liked his
Kato's colon taking up rent in Melissa's head.
It really is, and I hate it. Get it out.
Living rent free.
I liked Kato's friendship with Tom. I thought they were funny together. I didn't like the way he communicated with Dina, so that kind of like gave him some negative points for me. But at the same time, I did like him and Tom together as an alliance. I liked the tomato alliance.
Okay. All right. We have this question. Do you think that Lolo has an anger problem? No.
No, she doesn't. Why would you even say that? That's so rude. I can't believe you're threatening her like that.
Shelby is basically the worst person in the world, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. How dare you, Shelby? How dare you? All right. Let's talk about what we have coming up here on Rob's podcast, reality TV wrap ups, The Bachelor, Bachelor 23, episode 5. Are we only 5 weeks into this Bachelor season? I feel like it's been Bachelor season for a solid 3 months.
For our entire lives.
Yes. All right. So check out the Bachelor list wrap up with Amy and Haley. And then we have the best of the Survivor 38 returnees on Rob as a podcast. This is a special. I spent all night working on this as I was getting in my picks for the LFC Stockwatch. I was recording away here in the studio. The best of Aubrey, Joe, David, and Kelly Wentworth on the podcast. Lots of fun clips, including Taryn and Brent talking to Aubrey all about everything that was going on at the Survivor HHH finale.
Aubrey puts a smackdown on Brent.
Yeah, really got into it. In the links for the podcast, I have all of the appearances. There's got to be about like 25 to 30 different times that these people have appeared on Rob's podcast, the Rehap Ups. Aubrey was on the Taryn show. Aubrey did a recap of Big Brother 19 with Taryn a long time ago. So lots of stuff there to check out on the Best of the Survivor 38 returnees. Lots of fun. Okay. LFC Roundtable. If you missed it last night, the LFC was back together to talk about week 3 of Celebrity Big Brother. Be sure to catch that before we get to the double eviction. And then tomorrow morning, Taryn will be back. Is it a Puya day tomorrow, Taryn?
It's a Puya day.
Puya Friday. Kick off your weekend with Taryn and Puya talking about setting you up for tomorrow night's double eviction. And look at this. We are pulling out all of the stops. Queen Aika will join us tomorrow night. She got to talk to all of these Big Brother contestants when they went into the house. She's going to be back for the finale, talking to them when they get out of the house. ET Canada's Big Brother celebrity and Big Brother correspondent, Ike, the great Ike Wong, will be joining us tomorrow night to break down everything on the double eviction. So very excited to have Ike here with us to talk about all of this. And of course, thank you so much to the patrons of Rob as a podcast, all of those ride or dies who have stay crushing it all year long. robiswebsite.com/patron to find out all about the benefits of becoming a patron and become part of our Rob's podcast patron community. And so much going on here right now between the Celebrity Big Brother and the Survivor preseason. What a time to be a reality TV fan.
What a time.
It's all happening. All right. Melissa, are you watching World's Greatest?
World's Greatest? What's that?
That's new.
The show they keep advertising.
Oh, yeah. I'm not watching that.
Goosebumps. The definition of goosebumps.
I saw on Twitter that the World's Greatest ratings did worse than Celebrity Big Brother in the Wednesday 8 p.m. time slot, Taryn.
I've never even heard of that show.
I am watching World's War of the Worlds, The Challenge.
Oh, yes. How's that?
It was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Should I check it out? Everybody knows I tune in for Pauly Calafiore. I'm a big fan.
Was on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he do anything good yet?
Talked about, you know,
living rent free in somebody's head.
Wanting to live rent free in somebody's bed.
Bed. Whoa. Okay. Well, that's yeah. on brand. That's on brand. Okay. All right. So excited for tomorrow night. I'll be back with Aika. So be on the lookout for that in our double eviction coverage. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Be back tomorrow night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Robinson Podcast. Every car comes with a share of stories, that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, that luxury package you got after that big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet, so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.